you want to understand the koyach of how you treat a person, I'm just going to ask you to open your ears. Who is the most popular figure today in the news 24 hours a day? Before Orlando, in the middle of Orlando, and after Orlando. And you all know it's the Donald. That's the fact. The other day he went campaigning in Miami. He wanted the Jewish vote in Miami. Where do you go to Miami? He goes to an old age home. A 99-year-old woman greets him by the door. He looks at her and he says, "Do you know who I am?" She says, "No, who are you?" He says, "You don't know who I am. Look at me. Look at my hairdo. Look at how handsome I am. Tall, stature, charisma, charm, power, making America great again. Look at me." She says, "I don't know who you are, son. Who are you?" Now he goes into a fit. "You don't know who I am. Everyone in the world knows who I am today. How don't you know who I am? Tell me right now who I am." He says, "I don't know who you are." Another lady, 89 years old, comes over to him, caresses him on his back, and says, "Relax, relax, relax. I will call in the head nurse. She will tell you who you are." This happens very often around here. People forget who they are. It's fun. Relax. The question of identity. So somebody sends me a link to an article published by the New York Times 3 or 4 months ago, and I don't have to tell you that the New York Times cannot be chashud, cannot be suspected in leaning in any conceivable fashion towards the direction of Donald Trump, not even a machshava zara during Shmoneh Esrei, where people come up with everything. Even that not. So you can trust their article. I'm reading this article, almost a full-page article, very interesting exposure they give him. They want to know what clinched his decision to run for president. You know the answer? I'll tell you what they write. A few years ago, I believe it was April 2011, there was a White House correspondents' dinner, which is basically a dinner that the White House organizes for media correspondents that work in D.C. The President of the United States gives an address, and by tradition, it's humorous, it's light, it's charming, it's not serious, it's just an evening of entertainment and fun. Mr. Trump, who at the time was an extremely successful businessman, a tycoon, joins the dinner with some friends. President Obama gets up to speak. Who is the target of every joke of his? Mr. Trump. They happen to have a link, so I checked out the video. I wanted to see it. I looked at the video. Obama started to say joke after joke about him, and they were, as we would say, vicious gramen. They were mean. They cut into the kishkes, and you had 1,000 people giggling and laughing and applauding. Now, in the beginning, Trump is a big boy. You know, you don't fight City Hall. He's laughing with everybody. Yeah, he's laughing, he's giggling. But after 20, 30, 40 seconds, the president is really digging in, and suddenly you see, even if you're not a psychologist, but you're just a little sensitive, you see his whole body changes despite his will. He's sitting up. He's wounded. He's smiling, but it's like you remember in 7-year-old, when you were 7-year-old, you got a frask, you were thrown out of yeshiva and sent to the principal's office. You remember what you looked like? You remember those days? Forgetting. You'll never forget. I know, I could see. I'm just joking, but the younger, the bachim, they don't know what we're talking about. But some of us in yeshiva, the five wish, I don't have to remind you. You remember this? You remember this guy? Okay. So you remember what you felt like? An ois geklappt a hoishayna an hoishayna rabbe was more handsome and robust than what you felt like. I'm looking at Trump. He's dressed. All's good. But there is a grimace. The guy is psychologically bruised, emotionally wounded, trying to put up a fake smile. But you could see, and every joke, everyone is 1,000 people are applauding as they're making fun of him. And the New York Times says, you know what happens? Some people leave the dinner bruised. He got up. And you know what he said to himself and his friends? I will teach these guys a lesson. There will be a day they will not be laughing at me anymore. I will be the next president of the United States of America. I found it fascinating. I don't know who's going to be the president. Lev Malachim v'sarim b'yad Hashem. nor is this an evening about the political situation of the United States of America. But I do know that if Trump becomes the president, history will be changed in one form or another, whether you want to say it's l'toiv or l'mutiv, for good or for great or for awesome or whatever. It's almost irrelevant. I would say even now, before the elections, in many ways, he has created changes in history. And when your grandchild will turn to you one day and say, Zayda, tell me how this happened. Trump, who violated every politically correct standard in the history of the last 30 years of America, how did it happen? A man who mocked bemazed the op-ed pages of the New York Times and the sensitivities of the West Coast and liberal New York, and made it to the top and changed history. How did it happen? The honest answer will be because somebody shamed him in public. Somebody shamed him in public. That changed history. We Jews know it. It's a Gemara in Gittin. Akamtza bar kamtza. Chorev Mikdash. A man was shamed in public at a meal. It changed Jewish history. Why? That's the power that Tamar understood thousands of years ago. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world through words. Ba'asara ma'amoros. What does this mean? We destroy the world through words. And we build the world through words. You talk to a child, you talk to a bacha, you talk to a girl, you talk to a student, you talk to your disciple, you talk to your teenage nephew. Words. You build a person, and with words, you destroy a person. Ba'asara ma'amoros. 10 words, you build a universe, or conversely, because reality is made of words. Jews understood this. That's why we don't stop talking. At least some of us. Not all of us.